Can you hear me now? You guys are just like you're just sleeping all. Are you guys still sleeping? Man, huh? I'll tell you the trick on Sunday morning to be wide awake when you get to church. You guys got your paper and pencil out? Take a note. The trick to being wide awake for church is to get up like at 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock? Yeah, get up. Just try it. Get up at 4 o'clock. By then, now you're like, I'm wide awake. Huh? That cool? Not a good idea? Okay. Yeah, I thought I'd try. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, we humbly come before you this morning. Father, we ask you for strength. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for guidance, Father, because you are the God of all wisdom. You're the God of all strength. Father, we just praise you for that, Father. Father, just open my mouth and say what needs to be said in your way, Father, and what your will needs to be said about. Father, let's just talk about your word. Let's talk about you, because you are so awesome. We praise you and thank you for that, Father. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. But have a good week. Most of you guys had like an extra day off this week. Some people got like a mini vacation, right? Some of us had to work a lot. See, I should be down, but I'm not. I'm excited. Because you know what? It's the 4th of July, right? You guys see fireworks yet? Couple here and there. The rain kind of put a damper on that, didn't it? Cool. And I was thinking about it, preaching this morning, and what I was going to talk about is, you know, the 4th of July. It's kind of interesting. The 4th of July is what? Independence Day? You know, well, we all know what we're celebrating, right? July 4, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed, and we basically went to war with England for our freedom, right? As a nation, for our freedom. Interestingly enough, in 1776, July 4, 1776, King of England at the time wrote in his diary, "Nothing happened today." True. Nothing happened today. And I thought, huh, cool. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe he didn't hear yet. Because, you know, they didn't have like CNN and Facebook and all the stuff, right? But it's what he wrote. And I was thinking about that. And if you look at the, you wonder about the sermon title today. Everybody look at it. What's it say? Kind of weird, isn't it? Promise and old bones, huh? You think about that. Hopefully this will build to where we're going from. And I thought about that. You know, we are here today. The United States is a relatively young nation, you know what I'm saying, as far as nations go, and a little over 200 years old. And as a nation, we're standing on the shoulders of those who went before. Doug brought up his devotion. You know, there's been a lot of people who have given their all, the ultimate level of sacrifice. They gave their life. So you and I can be here and have freedom in the United States. And that ties right in with our spiritual walk, too. We've all had godly people in our lives. We're standing on the shoulders of those who went before. Parents. You know, I think about this church. I think of Bert Scott, you know. Miss him. He was an awesome man of God. And that's the reason why we're here today, you know, because of men like him. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And then I thought, so how's that all tied together with promise and old bones? Huh? My brother has a cemetery on his farm. It's an old cemetery. There's some stones there back in the 1700s. And every once in a while, the groundhogs get frisky, and they dig a hole in that cemetery. And you'll find a human bone there. And because back then, they didn't have concrete vaults, and they just had wooden caskets. There's probably not much left down there. But so we always make sure we get rid of the groundhogs so that doesn't happen. But you see the old bones, and one of them is from the Civil War. You think, you don't know. You don't know the story of how that person got there. You know, there's no, it's just a name. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can research it, sometimes you can't. But, so, and with all that being said, I was looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And anybody knows anything about the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 is what they call the faith chapter. Huh? Because the faith chapter talks about people that, you know, went before us, right? And by faith they did things, and they did some things. And I just want to touch base on this. I want to talk about this. And I think it's on my mind right now. I think we need to pray for Tim. I see him running out there. It sounds like there's maybe an accident or something going on. I think we need to go to the Lord in prayer on that right now. Praise the Heavenly Father. We just ask your hand of protection upon those that are going to this. Whatever's going on, we don't know, Father. But Father, we can have faith that you are a God that controls all. We just ask a special hedge of protection around Tim and his fellow people that helped with him, Father, the fire department, and all that are involved in that, Father. Father, would you just ask us in your precious name, because, Father, we do have faith in you. We believe you exist, and we believe you are God. We believe you. We just praise you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Gosh, it ties in pretty awesome. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Ever read this faith chapter? Huh? You think your name is in God's faith chapter? No. I wonder sometimes, you know. But when we start looking at what made the faith chapter, the people that made the faith chapter, that's why I want to look at this. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to try and touch base on all this stuff. I've got so much stuff. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, proof of things not seen." Know what it says? The Amplified says, "Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed in the senses." Faith. Faith is an interesting thing. Faith, when you start looking at it, and I'm sorry about the noise there, if you start looking at faith, different things that come up, faith, it says, is the substance. It's the substance. And this Greek word for substance is hypostasis. It means to stand up under. And when you start reading and do a little research on this, it refers to faith as a foundation we stand upon. In Rome, in the Roman times, it was a legal term referring to the sum of all documents concerning a person who owned property and possessions, and it was secured in an archive to provide proof of ownership. Proof? You mean my faith? You believe God is God? Probably wouldn't be here if you didn't, right? Believe God is God? Do you believe God can do anything? Is anything too hard for God? Huh? He's God. And when you start reading this, we've looked at this so many times, this faith. And it says, in verse 2 it says, "For by faith the men of old had divine testimony born of them and obtained a good report." These old guys, these old guys obtained a good report because of what they believed. By faith, it didn't look like things were going to go well. You ever read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11? A lot of stuff going on. Go back and do a little research on all the stuff that was going on in these people's lives. And they made it to the faith chapter. Isn't that cool? In verse 3, what really hit me, I have read this, and I have looked at this, and I have read this, and I've looked at this, and verse 3 hit me this week. What's verse 3 say? "By faith, we understand that the worlds," and the Amplified says, "during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that we see not as made out of things that are visible." So what we see was not made out of things which are visible. You guys believe in the Big Bang Theory? Huh? What hit me this week was, he's trying to say here in verse 3 is, think about this, there was nothing. We have no concept of nothing, do we? We have all that there's stuff. I mean, we have no concept of nothing, right? Imagine in your mind, think about it, in your mind, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's no light. There's no dark. It's just nothing. It's just nothing. There's nothing. Can't think about it. My mind cannot fathom nothing. God took absolutely nothing. Nothing. And said, "You know what? I think I'm going to make some planets today." By the word of his mouth. God took absolutely nothing and formed what we're standing on today. And we are a speck. We're not even a needle point in the big scheme of the universe. They don't even know how big it is. I told you, they've got telescopes now that can see hundreds of millions of miles. They can't see the end of it. It's so big. And God just said, "Let there be light." That simple. How big is God? How powerful is God? I asked that question. Do you believe God can do anything? Yes! He formed this out of nothing. He had nothing to start with. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he said, "Let there be light." And the earth came together. And it was perfect in its axis. Can you imagine? People have no concept. When you start looking at the scientific aspect of Earth, the percentage of oxygen, the angle it is to the sun, the distance, it's perfect for us to live on, right? Perfect! I can't believe that just happened. It would be probably easier for me to believe to throw a bunch of junk on the ground and it come together and made a watch. Huh? God created this and He just spoke it. And He says, by faith is the substance. Your faith is the substance of things not seen. And that's what He's saying in verse 3. God just said, let there be light. And here it was. The same God. That power. Can you imagine it? I can't imagine it. And then I got to looking at that. I thought, wow. Is anything too hard for God? No. So these guys that made the faith chapter, they just believed God. Huh? And if you get time, you should read the whole book of Hebrews 11. And I'm going to mess with Julie a little bit on her verses. Verse 6. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. What does Hebrews 11, verse 6 say? But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists and that He is the rewarder of those earnestly and diligently seek Him out. What? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I was looking at this. I thought, so, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So, if we have faith, we have to believe that God exists, right? He's God. He exists, right? So, we have to believe that He exists. So, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Anybody walk to church today? Am I the only one? I don't walk to church. I drove a car. No. Did everybody drive a car to church today? Some type of vehicle. We drove a vehicle, right? That car's got power, right? Start that baby up. Put it in gear. Right? It's got power, right? We can turn on the AC. Yeah, kick it back, right? Right? Jam on the radio at the church. Huh? Yeah? Is that the way you guys do? Huh? What would happen to that car? That car's got a lot of potential, right? It's got potential, right? What would happen if you never put gas in your car? What would happen? Probably quit running after a while, right? It's going to run out of gas, right? So then what good is it to you? It's got all this potential, though. It's got potential. This thing will do a lot of stuff. It's got AC. It's got AC. Right? But you don't put no gas in it. So the thing is useless. True story. It was back in the early 1900s. They donated a Rolls Royce to an Indian village out west. A Rolls Royce. Nice. V12 power. Huh? They drive it around and it runs out of gas. So after a while, they pull the motor out of it for some reason. And then they're pulling around with horses. It's a Rolls Royce! You know your faith? Gasoline is the power. Gasoline is the power. The power is your spiritual faith. Huh? Faith is that. Faith is like gasoline in your car. You can think of the power you got. You're a child of God. Do you believe that? Do you know it? You're a child of God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. The actual power of God. Now we said before, is anything too hard for God? Nobody raised their hand. You can see why, right? Because you knew it was coming to something, right? Huh? Is anything too hard for God? No, it's not. Without faith, you're like a car without gasoline. Got a lot of potential. There's a lot can happen there. You can get cold, get AC. I'm sure somebody thinks that's a good deal. It's hot. AC. It's got AC. Maybe air conditioning will work in your car. It's got potential though, right? Faith to you as a Christian is like gasoline to your car. You gotta have faith. You gotta have faith. You gotta believe that God exists. You gotta believe that He is God and He's capable of anything. Anything. Huh? So what does this have to do with old bones, man? You're messing me up. Old bones. Huh? Let's go to Hebrews 11. Let's look at verse 22. Have you ever read? You ever read something? You read it, and you read it, and you read it, you read it, read it, read it. You hear it year after year after year. You read it, and then you read it one day and think, "Oh, I never saw that before." Hebrews 11. We're talking about faith, right? Faith people had, right? Faith, right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22 says, "By faith, Joseph, when nearing the end of his life, referred to the promise of God for the departure of the Israelites out of Egypt, and gave instruction concerning the burial of his own bones." Doesn't that excite you? Go, I'm going to go look and see what that's all about. Wouldn't you do that if you read that? You think, I want to know what happened, right? Isn't that what you do? You just close the book and say, I don't really want to know any more about it. No. Huh? I look at that and think, now what's this all about? Huh? Let's go all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 50. Everybody know who Joseph was? He had the coat of many colors, right? He was a dreamer. They figure he was probably, 17 years old when he got sold into Egypt. His brothers hated him. You have any siblings that don't like you? These guys took it to the big time. They actually sold him. They sold him for money. Because they didn't like him, they sold their own brother for money. They take him into Egypt. He's down there. He's in prison a lot down there. Not that he was a bad guy. He was in prison a lot. He got condemned for some things. He's in prison a lot. Finally, he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. Pharaoh interprets this dream, or has this dream. Nobody can interpret, so they bring Joseph in, and he interprets the dream. He becomes second in command of Egypt. He's pretty high up, isn't he? Second in command. Then he goes through all this stuff. His brothers come down wanting food. They got this drought that happens for 7 years. He gets all this food. Brothers come down. All this stuff going on. So his brothers finally, he finally tells his brothers who he is. He messes with them quite a bit, which that's probably normal for a sibling to mess with their other sibling, right? I thought that was normal. Anyway, long story short, Joseph comes. His dad finally comes down. All the children of Israel come down, and they're staying in Egypt because there's food here, living in Goshen. All this stuff. We get to in Genesis chapter 50. A lot of things have happened. And Joseph says, Joseph lives about 110 years. And Joseph, in verse 24, I want to read this to you. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am going to die. He's getting the end of his life. He knows it. He's coming close. He's going to die. But God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you. Now, when you look at this verse, this is really interesting to me. He says, but God will surely. It doesn't mean he I don't know, he might. He could. It's possible. God could probably do that. Yeah, he can do that. If he wants to, it's possible, right? Is that what he said? No, he said surely. Joseph knew that God had promised Abraham this land. And these children of Israel were in Egypt now. They weren't in the land no more. They were in Egypt now, okay? And he knew that there's going to come a time when they're going to go back to their land. Because God is surely going to equip you. And if you look at this, I'd have to read this to you because there's no way I can... I read this and I had to check this out. This is the brain of some really smart guy. It says, the key verb visit implies an actual interest on behalf of his people, plus the infinite absolute here is the strongest way to say that the action will occur. God will surely visit, take care, and carry you up. When used directionally, it refers to movement towards the promised land, implying movement towards God. That's some pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? I didn't understand either. You guys are all looking like he's stupid. I have no idea what you just said. I don't either. But if you look at the verbs, the directional aspect of this, it implies that God says, you know what? I care about you. I really love you. I care about you. I am going to do this, and you're going to go back to land, and that's going to happen. And Joseph said, you know what? I'm just dumb enough to believe he's going to do it. Sometimes you just got to be dumb enough. God's going to believe he's going to do something. Right? I'm just that dumb. Isn't that incredible? I ain't got much brains. I'm not very smart. I'm not an intelligent guy. I'm just dumb enough to believe God's going to do it. So what's he say here? Verse 25. And Joseph took an oath from the sons of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. He says it twice. He said, he's surely going to take you out of here. He's surely going to come and visit you. Directionally speaking, you're going to move out of here and go to that land. You're going to God. Wow. Huh. And you will carry up my bones from here. Joseph says, you know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to be dead. I'm going to have my old dirty bones. I'm dead. But when you guys leave, I want you to take my bones with you. Pretty incredible, huh? You're not seeing it yet, neither am I. Let's keep moving. So, we say, okay, Joseph's bones. Okay, he's going to take one. Is that the last we hear about Joseph's bones? No. Isn't that cool? Check this out. Exodus 13. So we know what happens in Exodus. You know, Moses, he gets born, and we go through all this stuff, and he just rides around this little thingy because they want to kill the kids and all this stuff. And Moses, he grows up in Pharaoh's house and becomes pretty powerful, and he ends up killing an Egyptian and fleeing, and he's 40 years old with that, and then he's in the wilderness 40 years tending sheep, picking back. This is pretty nice. Ain't got nobody to worry about but the sheep. Pretty nice thing. Then God visits him in a burning bush, and then Moses comes back. He says, you're going to take my people out. You are going to take my people out. And in Exodus chapter 19, and then we know that the plagues, y'all know about the 10 plagues? Y'all know about them? Did you read that? Isn't that cool? 10 plagues. God uses 10 plagues. And then the children of Israel are out there, and they're getting ready to leave. And what happens in Exodus chapter 19? I'm sorry, chapter 13. I lied to you. Verse 19. Chapter 13. Verse 19. What does it say? And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. What? They're going to leave this. The Egyptians are going to leave this under all these people that they're leaving, and Moses is going to do what? Now, they ain't got cars. They don't have a U-Haul. They're not having all this stuff loaded up on a car driving. They're actually carrying a lot of stuff by hand. So what do they do? It says Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for Joseph had strictly sworn the Israelites, saying, "Surely God will be with you. You must carry my bones away from here with you." What? Moses takes Joseph's bones with him. You ever see that before? I never did either. Joseph's bones he carried about Egypt. Can you imagine 2 million people leaving and here's this coffin? We're carrying Joseph's bones. That's stupid, isn't it? That makes no sense. Joseph made him swear. Joseph knew that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob, he was going to give them that land. He said, you know what? When you leave, God's going to give you that land. He's going to deliver you. He's going to give you that land. And I want to be buried in that land. Is that faith or what? Check this out. Exodus 13. How many years is it from Exodus 13? Genesis 50? Huh? How many years? You figure it's about 200, probably closer to 400 years. 400 years. Our country is only a little over 200 years old. You mean we've been keeping Joseph's bones in a closet for 400 years because we got to take them with us? Yeah, they did. I'm sure they got forgotten about a lot. 400 years. Wow. So Moses says, you know, we're going to take his bones with him because he made you promise. He made you promise we're going to take him with him. So what happens? Let's go to Joshua. Everybody knows the end of it. We've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. End of Deuteronomy, our servant Moses dies. God takes him. And Joshua takes over as the leader of the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And the point I'm trying to make here, it sounds really silly. It sounds almost silly to be able to carry somebody's bones somewhere, doesn't it? It seems really silly, right? The fact of the matter is, Joseph believed God was going to do something. And he was willing to bet his life on it. He was willing to bet his burial place on it. You guys old enough yet to get your burial plot picked out? As older people go think about stuff. You young guys probably don't even think about anything like that, right? But as older people think, now where would I want to be buried? What do I want on my tombstone? We had talked about that several weeks ago. What do you want to put on your tombstone? And they're going to say, here lies that idiot. Here he is, that idiot. That'll probably be on my tombstone. Huh? But you think about stuff like that, the older you get. Joseph was concerned about where his body's bones was going to lay. He wanted him to take them, and he wanted to be buried in the land that God had promised. Isn't that cool? In Joshua, chapter 24, verse 32. And it says, the bones of Joseph, which the Israelites brought up out of Egypt, they buried in Shechem in the portion of ground Jacob bought from his sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. And it became the inheritance of the Josephites. Check it out. Joshua buries Joseph's bones in Shechem that becomes the inheritance of his kids, his grandkids, 440 years after he's dead. Isn't that impressive? Isn't that something that God honored that? He honored that. Shechem is a... Abraham, when he visited Canaan in Genesis, he built an altar in Shechem. Jacob, when he visited the area, he built an altar in Shechem. And he named the altar El Elohi Israel. God, the God of Israel. This land was sacred land. This land was land that God had promised to Abraham 1,000 years ago. Isn't that something? 1,000 years! Can you remember what happened yesterday? It was hot. Sweat a lot. Can you remember? Can you remember what happened last year? What were you doing last year on July 7th? Anybody remember? I ain't got a clue. I don't remember what I was doing. God remembered 1,000 years and honored Joseph's faith and buried his bones in the ground that his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren inherited. Isn't that something? What's the promise in old bones? What is the promise in old bones? There's no promise in the bones, but there's a promise in the God who honors it. Isn't that cool? You ever see that before? Joseph's bones? I never did either. Let's go back to the New Testament. Let's go back to Hebrews. I want to show you one more thing in Hebrews. I want to leave you with something. Obviously, you guys are going to be thinking about Joseph's bones all week, right? That's no. Okay, that's fine. I was just thinking. Just thought I'd ask. You never know. Sometimes things happen. In Hebrews, I want to look here. In Hebrews chapter 13. I didn't write this down, but I want... It seems like a really neat blessing to leave you with. Check this out. Hebrews chapter 13. The writer of Hebrews, they don't know who wrote it. They think maybe Paul did. I don't know. A lot of people... There's a lot of things looking different places, but check this out. What you do is very important. Spiritual legacy you leave behind is very important. Don't think the things that you do, decisions you make, don't mean anything. Think they just affect me. No, they don't. They affect your children. They affect your grandchildren. As Joseph, we see how Joseph, he, 1,000 years. Wow, that's a long time. His children inherited that from Abraham over 1,000 years. God's faithful. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 says, now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace. Boy, we could sure use a little peace, couldn't we? Huh? God is the author and the giver of peace. Who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified, the everlasting agreement. Verse 21. Strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good that you may carry out His will, while He Himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever, to ages of ages. Amen. Isn't that cool? The God of peace, the author of peace, He alone can give you peace. He is going to give you peace. You have to ask Him for peace. He is going to strengthen you. He is going to give you the ability. He is going to hold you up. He is going to strengthen. He's going to make you powerful and strong. Maybe not physical. He's going to make you powerful and strong, that you can endure and you can do the job that He has for you to do in His will. Isn't that something? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? Don't you know that God's working in your life? He's got something that only you can do. You ever think about that? God has something that only you are totally equipped, prepared, mentally stable, strong, able for you to do. Period. Isn't that something? You ever think about that? Why am I still here? Look back over your life and see the many times that maybe you shouldn't be here. We've all had those moments, right? All had stuff, close calls, near misses, stuff happens to us. God has a purpose for you here in this life. He has a purpose that only you can take care of. Isn't that awesome? Should we be praying to Him, say, God, what do you want me to do? What is it today that you want me to do? And you know, I don't know that it's only one thing. I think God has something for you to do every day you wake up. You get out of bed and say, Lord, give me the strength, give me Your will, give me Your ability today to do what You want me to do. We wake up going, God, I need, I got all this stuff, terrible things. Is that what we do? That's what we do! And God's like, I already give it to you! Come on! You whip? That's what He tells me. Calls me a whip. Can you believe God calls me a whip? He does. Yeah. And He's right. Because, you know, I get on my pity pot sometimes and whine and cry about stuff. And I'm probably the only one here that ever does anything like that, right? Probably. Huh? Yeah, probably. Right. You know what? When I get out of bed in the morning, I say, Father, what is it today that I can do for You? What is it? What's the plan You have for me today? And I'll tell you what, be ready. Because it's going to be a cool ride. Huh? It's going to be cool. This week I was working. It was hot. Tuesday I was working. I was torching. And I was beating with sledgehammer. It was really hot in the sun. And I got sunburned. I'm out every day in the sun all day long. And I got sunburned Tuesday. I got sunburned. And I'm like, it's hot. I'm just sweating and sweating and soaking wet, sweating. And you know what comes to my mind? Remember Jonah? You ever hear the story of Jonah? You know, he got swallowed up by the big fish and all that. But you ever read that last part of Jonah when he goes, proclaims to Nineveh, he said, if you guys don't repent, God's going to destroy you. And he goes out and he builds him a little hut and he sits there and he waits to see what God's going to do. And so God prepares a gourd to come up and it grows and it gives him shade. He's like, I love that little gourd. It gives me shade. And then it says God prepares a worm and the worm kills the gourd in the night and the gourd dies. And he prepares a vehement east wind that blows on Jonah, and he's hot, and he's going ready to faint, to die. And that brought to my mind, I thought, you know, Jonah was in that same place. And it was cool, because it brought back a story from the Bible to me, but it was so hot. Isn't that cool? And then I didn't focus on the heat, and I didn't focus on all the junk. It's like, that's so cool. So that's how Jonah felt. He was hot. Huh? That's how I felt. Isn't that cool? I get excited about pretty strange things, don't I? I do. You know what? Two things you should take today. Remember what you do, the decisions you make, what's going to affect your children. Maybe your children's children. Maybe your children's children's children. Your children's children. And remember, without faith, you ain't got no power. You're limited. You've got to believe that God can do. He exists. He can do what He says He's going to do, and He's God. And even when He has me do something that I don't want to do, He's still God. go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I know I probably butchered that terribly, but Father, I just try to get across what you had put on my mind today to just speak. Father, we just look at you. Father, we have to believe that you are God and you are capable, able, and willing to do so many things for us. We just thank you for that, Father. We praise you for being our Lord and our Savior, for being our God, for giving us strength, and just loving each and every one of us and showing yourself to us, Father. We can just be in service for you because, Father, we do love you and we do praise you and we want to do what you have for us to do. Sometimes kicking and screaming, but, Father, we want to do what you would have us to do. Father, we just praise you and we thank you and we love you. Father, be with us the rest of the day. Father, your strength and your power and your grace and your blessing and your mercy be upon us. Father, we just feel your presence and know that you're God. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise team is already up here. They're going to sing a song this morning.